Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. And this reminder, between verses 17 and 18 of Genesis chapter 2, we have inserted a profile of the first man and the first woman before Holy God in the Garden in Eden. Who were they? What should we know about them at this point in this true story of the beginning of the human race? As part of this, we will discuss how we are similar to them and how we are different from them. And yesterday we began to build the profile with this fact. Adam and Eve were real, historical people. Adam was a real man who really did live. Eve was a real woman who really did live. And we found biblical support for this. Today we move on to our second point in the profile. The first man and the first woman were both made in the image of God. First, they are real historical people, and second, they are made in the image of God. And this will take us some time to develop because this is foundational to who Adam and Eve were and to who we are. All people are made in the image of God. And so we must ask, what does it mean to be made in God's image? And for this, we begin in the Bible going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Join me in Genesis 1:27, which clearly says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Clearly, there is something about the image of Adam as male and Eve as female that is also found within God. In their being or in their person, they bear the image of God. In the physical nature of Adam and Eve resides the imprint of God. Now, this is hard to explain for reasons I will mention later on, but perhaps the best way to think of this is by taking a visit to our friend's house to meet their new baby. We're in the car on our way to their home, and the topic of conversation is this. I wonder who the baby will look like, Dad or Mom? Curiosity is building as we round the street corner and make our way to their front door. Dad opens the door and lets us in, getting us seated, fed, and watered. We're enjoying our conversation with him, but let's face it, we want to see the child. After what seems like way too long, around the corner comes Mom and baby. We all stand up and rush forward. Oh, we all love a baby. So soft, so cuddly, so cute. In the age of viruses, it's a hands-off policy. But we watch in wonder, and we're all looking for it. In whose likeness is this little one? Well, on this occasion, the answer comes screaming off the baby's face, especially that little forehead, nose, and mouth. This is Mama's little boy. Somebody cuts a joke towards Dad. Hey, Joe! Are you sure this is your kid? We laugh. What is clear to us is that this baby bears the image of his mother. Well, likewise, the first man and the first woman bear the image of God. Something about Adam and Eve makes them look like God. But what? Well, I want to break this down for us by talking about five ways in which we bear the image of God, all found within the Bible. But first, I must acknowledge a question that thinking people will have at about this point in time. You might even be wondering this. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, but that was before sin. Since we are born sinners, does that mean we also are made in the image of God? We may be able to accept that the first man and the first woman were made to bear the image of God because we know they were made sinless. But once sin invades the world, then how could it be that we still bear the image of sinless God? God who cannot in any way be associated with sin. Wouldn't our sin erase the image of God from our lives? Doesn't it seem strange to you to say that when I look at you, I see something in you that looks like God? Or that when you catch a glimpse of me, you see something in me that is God-like? I find this hard to comprehend. No offense. I am sure you are a handsome man, or you a beautiful woman. But clearly, I have a face for radio and the audio podcasts. We are both mired by our sin, and that makes it hard for us to believe that we are God's image bearers. Of course, we live in a society where the most popular among us would have no problem accepting they bear God's image because they think of themselves as gods and goddesses. Those men and women that drive the culture's obsession with self, with looks and with appearance, will try anything to assist their look such that they draw more and more attention to themselves. But what drives that is pride, not the humility that comes with being made in the image of the one true God. The reality is that many of us will find it hard to accept that we too are made in the image of our Heavenly Father. But according to the Bible, we are. It is not just Adam and Eve, it is also you and me. Let me prove it to you. I am thinking of two scriptures, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Actually, the Old Testament scripture is here in Genesis. Skipping ahead in our storyline in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve fall into sin. And eventually the sin gets so bad that God wipes out all humanity with a flood, all except one family, that of Noah. And yet, when we get over to Genesis chapter 9, we find that men and women are still made in the image of God. The context is God warning against the murder of one person by another person. In Genesis 9, verse 6, God himself affirms the reason murder is sin, saying, "For in the image of God I made man." Genesis 9, verse 6. Notice, after man and woman have fallen hard into sin, still the image of God is not erased from their lives, not erased from our lives. That was our Old Testament scripture, and now let's move all the way across the Bible to the New Testament book of James. This puts us very near the end of the Bible. James is writing to early Christians about the all-important and very real matter of taming the tongue. So many of us sin using our tongue. The things we say are awful. At this time in America's history, my, the things Christians say. We think freedom of speech, but we forget that God is always listening. As Jesus said, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. As someone has said, what is in the well of the heart comes up through the bucket of the mouth. Clearly, the context of our verse is sin in speech. Sin. And yet, even here, James affirms that we bear the image of God. In James 3, verse 9, we read, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God." And of course, James is saying, because we bear the likeness of God, we must not curse other people with our tongues. Well, this is a good and timely instruction for many of us today. Careful, Christian, that you do not lose self-control of your tongue. Yes, even in traffic. Remember our question. Doesn't our sin erase the image of God from our lives? The answer is no. Even as sinners, we still bear the image of God. Genesis 9:6 and James 3:9 prove it. Let's get back to our analogy. As with our friend's baby, who looks just like his mom, so too we all look like our Heavenly Father. God, somehow we look like him. As wretched as our sin is, that does not erase his image from our lives. This is remarkable. Going back to Genesis 2 and the garden, something about Adam and Eve makes them look like God. But what? Well, let's talk about five ways in which we bear the image of God, all found within the Bible. The first is that we are made in the image of God in that we exist as living, personal beings. God is a living, personal being, and so are we. Often on this radio broadcast and podcast, you will hear me say, God is the living God. I do this to affirm that God lives. This is very biblical. Listen to Jeremiah 10:10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10 declares, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King." God lives and we live. Therefore, we bear the image of God. And God is personal. Those of you who love God through His Son, Jesus Christ, know God is very personal. Not only does He live, but He lives in those of us who are Christians by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is God getting up close and personal. No, not just up close, but in close. God takes up residence. He makes His home in the believer in His Son, Jesus. Likewise, we are personal beings. We are the up close and personal ones. If you do not think of yourself as being personal, see how long you can go without interacting with another person. It is never healthy to be always alone. We are made in the image of God, and so like Him, we are made for personal relationships. We are made to be personal with God, and we are made to be personal with one another. What does it mean to be made in God's image? First, we are made in the image of God in that we exist as living and personal beings. Tomorrow, at the start, I want to say more about this, and then we'll move on to the second way the first man and the first woman were, and we are, made in the image of God. Perhaps we'll get to the third insight as well. And we'll do all of that when you join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.